Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. It's a pleasure to have you here today with us, County Connections, every Thursday at 9 on Yquinna Bay Communications. We have a great program today. With us is Mike Eastman. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Casey.
Now, Mike, you are the president of the Amateur Radio Club. Have I got that right?
I am this year the president of the Lincoln County Amateur Radio Club, and I'm also connected to the Auxiliary Communication Service that works under the Sheriff's Department Emergency Management, which is mostly consists of the same people, but just a little bit different functions.
Well, you know, I've had the chance to, you know, see you at work most recently during our Cascadia Rising exercise. But, you know, I realize that I don't know a whole lot about what you guys do, a whole lot about what amateur radio is. Maybe another term is ham radio. And I thought, man, I've got to get Mike on the program. I saw that you had a field day recently, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, could you kind of put into context to us, when we think about amateur radio or ham radio, what do most people identify that with when you meet them? And so for those that aren't in the know, what are you guys doing exactly with these radios?
Big question. There's probably two typical things that people think of when you mention ham radio. One is confusion with CB radio.
Hmm.
And
the two are not the same.
And the two are not the same.
Okay.
You know, radio is a radio in terms of the basic science. But biggest difference between amateur radio and ham radio and CB radio is that CB is on a small portion of the spectrum. No license is required, and there are actual limitations on the regulations that are intended to limit the distance over which you communicate. Amateur radio has privileges on a number of bands, all the way from microwave frequencies down to 160 meters, study and licensing is required. There are three levels of licenses, and you really are expected to learn a lot about the craft, and your flexibility is just is greater probably than any other radio service.
Yeah, so like a CB, anybody can buy a CB, throw it in their car, use it, but to use a ham radio, amateur radio, you really have to go through an FCC licensing process?
Yes, absolutely. Now, you don't have to have a license to buy a radio, but you have to have a license to push the button and transmit. So you can listen, you know, all day long. But transmitting is a privilege that you earn by studying for the license. The technician license, which is the entry level license these days, is relatively, say, it's, you know, harder for some people than others. If you have a little bit of background, if you've been interested in electronics or science growing up, then it's going to be easier for you. If that's not your bent, then, you know, I've had some people that I've had in classes that for which it was more of a challenge.
Mm.
But honestly, it's doable. My wife will tell you that it's that if she can do it, anybody can do it. And I think because it wasn't really her bent, so but she's doing, you know, very well at it. I know of people as young as five who have gotten amateur radio licenses.
Really?
So, yep.
Okay. Well, why is it that you need the licensing? Is it the capability of the technology? I mean, how would you kind of put that into context?
It is partly if we had folks without training on some of the because the privileges are pretty broad. And the ability for somebody who doesn't, you know, have a certain amount of training to cause problems for others, for one thing, cause problems outside of the band that you should be operating in, cause interference to other people who are operating in those in the amateur bands can be pretty considerable, as well as that among the the purposes of amateur radio is to is to advance the in fact, this is right in the FCC regulation that it's to advance the radio arts. So a lot of innovation that has happened over the years has really come from amateurs experimenting with what can be done. And so that requires a certain level of knowledge and understanding of the science and proper procedures and good operating.
You know, when we think about the popularity of this as a skill, maybe even a hobby, and also, you know, a real valid communication tool, have we seen a peak in previous generations? Where do you see this kind of wave of participation and people and their interest in amateur radio?
Great question. Interestingly enough, there are more amateur radio licensees now than there ever have been.
Wow.
The number is over 700,000 licensed radio operators. One of the reasons for that is because there is no longer a Morse code requirement. For many, many years, there were requirements that you demonstrate your ability to operate Morse code
to get your license
at certain
speeds. That was a portion of it.
To get your license.
Wow.
And so, you know, and there's, you know, there's differences of opinion about whether that's a good thing or not. But one of the things that I have seen is that I have met a lot of folks who have been interested in amateur radio all their lives. And have bought equipment and studied and listened, but were never able to get their license and be a ham radio operator because they just had a problem getting the code. It's a different
well,
kind of skill.
Yeah.
So to see some of those guys who are, you know, older than me, you know, who are, have been, you know, retired for many years, and to finally get to be an amateur radio operator and do and push the button and transmit and really participate has been really, really nice. And I need to emphasize, too, that Morse code is not dead, just it's not a requirement for a license anymore.
Yeah.
There are still lots of people doing it and people learning it. Sometimes people will pick something up because they don't have to.
Yeah.
Anymore. So it's very much alive, and it's an important part of amateur radio abilities, because those Morse code signals can get through when your voice can't be understood.
Well, Mike, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, maybe let's talk about your participation in Cascadia, for example, to give kind of a boots on the ground, you know, real world application for this, and maybe you can give us some more ideas too. We're talking to Mike Eastman. We're talking about auxiliary radio communications on Lincoln County Connections. We'll be back in just a moment. Thanks for joining us on Lincoln County Connections. We are talking to Mike Eastman. We are learning today about auxiliary communications, amateur radio. And recently, Mike, I saw you and your team, and maybe saying your team is not really a fair term, but was that the Sheriff's Auxiliary Communications Group? What are you guys called when you're operating like that?
That's the Lincoln County Auxiliary Communications Service. We operate under the we volunteer under the County Emergency Manager, which is under the Sheriff's Office, and it's many of the same people that that are also in the Radio Club, we're in that context. We're specifically preparing ourselves to do emergency kinds of communications for in support of whatever the needs are for under the county.
You know, part of the Cascadia exercise design was with, you know, such a large potential impact of an earthquake, was that we would lose satellite communications, internet communications, but auxiliary radio, this has an advantage. And what can you explain to us why you're able to mobilize teams of people to communicate? And I want to say I think there is some line of sight component to the way radio works. Can you talk about that?
In terms, depending on the bands or the wavelengths that we're working with, in the VHF band, 2 meters, we have several repeaters in this area that assist us in getting longer distances. The kinds of the band that you'll see when somebody has a handheld is mm-hmm. primarily in that 2 meter band.
No, those, so, like, if I went to Big Five and got one of those handheld radios.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, one of the ones that you'll find in the little two at a time in the bubble packs.
Yeah.
Those are in a band that's available to without. Well, that's a little more complicated, but you can actually use those without a license, depending on which channels you're on. Those are in the UHF band, So let's talk about that neighborhood, because that's in the neighborhood of where we're talking about with an amateur's handheld.
Yeah.
Those tend to be the communication tends to be pretty much line of sight, as you said. If you can, you don't want obstructions, mountains, tall buildings in your way. So we'll use those a lot for local communications, and then you can extend that somewhat with repeaters that are on high places like Otter Crest, Mary's Peak.
Mm-hmm.
Mary's Peak extends what would be a range of several miles into, we can actually communicate, you know, into the valley for quite a ways up and down with just a handheld. Now, in the Cascadia Rising exercise, the postulate was that we have had the big earthquake and all of our communications infrastructure is down, including those repeaters. So we're there with handhelds that we put batteries into and mobile radios that are running off our vehicle 12-volt power,
mm-hmm.
and what we can set up with generators and that sort of thing. So that was a really good test of, you know, where we have to get in the right position to get the greatest range, and position people in places where they can relay information.
Wow,
because
great.
Communication, as you know, is just a huge issue in any kind of disaster response.
Yeah. You know, and I was busy kind of doing my thing over there in the EOC tent. You guys had what to be a mobile trailer set with all your communications equipment in it. So that's what you guys were doing over there, was sending out individuals to different locations to maximize your range and your effectiveness?
Right. What we worked with was where people, when something happens, you know, unexpected, unplanned, people are going to be, we have volunteers throughout the county, and those volunteers are going to be wherever they are when it happens.
Yeah.
So, and even if you're home, you might be in Walport, but you might find yourself in Lincoln City at work or, you know, on an errand.
Yeah.
Happens, and that's where you'll be. So our scenario was, well, we'll have people scattered around the county. They're going to be able to move to a certain extent. To get to a high point or this is where, you know, this is where their home is and,
right.
and they're not able to get out. And a certain amount of, in fact, in this particular scenario, we figured that it would take a few days for everybody to kind of dig out from the mess
right.
and locate what they've got that's still, you know, not broken and usable. And be able to set up the command post and really get you to communicating.
Yeah. Wow,
so.
Interesting. It's just great to hear what you guys were doing, and really an important piece, because if we can have your team, people with your skill, distribute themselves, get in the right locations, I mean, we've got a powerful tool for communication.
Really, and that's really important. And I didn't get to the other side of that, which is
yeah.
on the lower bands. There's where you can get longer range communication, a little more work to set up, but then you are able to have your signals bounce off the ionosphere and get out of the area. So to be able to communicate outside of, if the whole West Coast, for example, is devastated in a mega earthquake, we're going to need to be able to get communication outside of the state. So,
well, terrific, Mike. We'll bring it back, and I think because we're kind of running short on time, maybe we'll talk about how folks can participate. Let's just take a quick break, and we'll be back on Connections with Mike Eastman. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. We're talking to Mike Eastman. We're talking about amateur radio. And Mike, with a little bit of time left here, let's just talk about how folks can participate and learn more in Lincoln County. What are the opportunities for folks? You recently had a field day. You've got another training coming up. Where can we get involved?
Well, the Amateur Radio Club meets every second Tuesday at 7 o'clock for club meetings, 6 o'clock we do emergency communications stuff. Anybody is welcome to come and kind of see what it's all about. Of course, field day is the fourth Saturday in June every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an opportunity. I do classes about twice a year, opportunity for folks to learn what it takes to get an amateur radio license. There's a lot of resources online that I can put people in touch with as well. And I'll be starting a class the end of August. I usually do 2 hours a week for about 8 weeks to cover everything.
Okay. So your commitment there ends up being around 16, maybe to 20 hours just in that kind of class environment.
Right. And I really recommend that people do the online testing as well to practice tests.
Yeah. The test itself, when that time comes, how long do you think that takes?
The test itself, a 35-question test, takes people anywhere from 15 minutes to half an hour is a long time for somebody to spend at it usually.
So that doesn't sound too heavy duty, but you know, everything that one would learn in your 8-week class and some online research on their own, that would be enough to get the job done, huh?
It is, yeah, for most people. There's, you know, the various resources. There are also books that will help you study for the test. All of the test questions and answers are published, so the whole pool that they draw the questions from. So, it's very doable. It takes, a little bit of focus for a few weeks, really.
Any thoughts with a couple minutes here on resources people want to, you know, go on the internet, look on YouTube? Do you have any recommendations where folks could begin to get an idea of what's involved?
There are lots of YouTube videos. I would just Google amateur radio. If you Google specifically amateur radio exam or study, that'll focus you a little bit more onto resources that are focused towards that. Towards getting through the test. One of my favorite free practice test sites is hamexam.org. Sign up for an account. It's free. It keeps track of your correct and incorrect answers, and we'll bring those incorrect ones back to you until you get them correct consistently. Really, really, really useful resource.
Excellent. So, Mike, do you have a website locally for information?
The club website is n7oy.org. That's the club call sign, November 7, Oscar Yankee. The Auxiliary Communication Service, or ACS, is LincolnCountyACS.org.
LincolnCountyACS.org. Okay, good. Mike Eastman, thanks for coming on the program, and we'll have to have you back. Would you come back and tell us more about amateur radio?
I'd love to.
It'll be a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Lincoln County Connections. We'll see you same time, same place next week.